You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 26 for July 2nd, 2012.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about all kinds of things that are running related.
Yes.
Today, I guess we're going to be talking a lot about half marathons.
Yeah. Or the Pikermi.
Or the Pikermi. Yeah, we'll explain that one later. I don't like that name for it, but kind of weird. But I guess first, let's start with kind of how our weeks are going. So why don't you go ahead? I'll let you start.
Okay. This week I did, I think, just over 35 miles of running. I think on 5 days. I think it was 5 days overall. Got my long run in of, I think it was 13.25 miles. And we were out on Iron Horse Trail, which we've talked about before, which is basically like a long, I guess, bike path.
Mm-hmm.
Paved. But I did run on the dirt. Kind of is parallel to the paved trail for most of the time. I don't know if you do that, but I didn't really run on the paved part too much, except for where there was where you had to run on the paved part. But so that was my long run, which was kind of nice getting out there. I wanted to do some, you know, I've talked before that I'm trying to get some more long runs done outside, just to kind of get my hydration in tune with, you know, being outside and just the varying weather and that sort of thing. So, and actually one thing that I did new this time, I took a hydration pack. So I don't know, were we going to talk about that later or just talk about it now? Okay. So I actually got a Nathan hydration pack, a women's specific one. I think it's called the Intensity. Mm-hmm. So it holds about, I think the bladder in it holds about 2 liters of fluid. So I took that out. It was something that I had been thinking about getting before. I know you told me I should just get it. But I kind of wanted to do a little bit more trail running, you know, do my second half marathon out on the trail, which I did. And that basically confirmed that, yeah, I probably should take something a little bit bigger than just my Nathan quick draw to drink. So I actually tested it out on my long run this weekend, and I really liked it. So it's women specific. So I think the two main things that's different between that and like the non-women specific is I think it's shorter because we have, you know, shorter torsos. And I think the other thing too was where the straps, your shoulder straps go. So I think it kind of just adjusts for a female body is the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty comfortable. It took me a little while to kind of get all the straps adjusted. There's a lot of adjustable straps, which is great, because then once you get it adjusted, you know, to the, like your body type, your fit, then it's really nice. But it took me a few miles to kind of figure out, okay, let me tighten this one, let me move this one over a little bit, let me do that. And then the other thing that was really nice too is pockets. It has quite a few pockets, although I could see that kind of becoming a problem where you have all these pockets and you're like, oh, I can take this, oh, I can take that, and then, you know, before you know it, you like have just a pack full of stuff. So I tried not to take too much, you know, but I took some goos. I had my iPod. Didn't actually have to wear an armband this time for the iPod, which was kind of nice. So, but yeah, I really liked it. Didn't feel like it was, you know, shifting too much on my body or bouncing too much. I think at the beginning it did feel like it was shifting left to right a little bit, but not until, you know, like, I mean, it stopped basically when I adjusted the strap. So it felt pretty good, but you said it kind of looked big.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just used to looking at you or other runners without a pack on, and when you have a pack, true, it just looks kind of big. So yeah, because it kind of has the big compartment for the bladder, and then a smaller one on top of that for just to throw small kind of stuff
right
in there. So I mean, it looked big, but you know, I'm kind of used to seeing that at, I guess, some of the trail races that we've been, we've seen a lot of people with the Nathan hydration packs,
yeah,
which is kind of probably what led you there,
right,
was seeing so many people have it. Mm-hmm. And then you realized there was the female one,
right? And I had like looked online and saw some pretty good reviews from women about that hydration pack specifically, so that was new for me, and I liked it. I think I'm actually going to use it this coming weekend. We're doing a timed event, or not timed event, that's not right. We're basically doing an event for, it's the Dirty Dozen 6-hour long running event. It's not a timed event. I mean, they're all timed. So I think I'm going to take my hydration pack out there because it was pretty comfortable. So
yeah, it was comfortable, but you didn't fill it all the way.
I did not. But okay. I don't think I would necessarily fill it all the way
anyway
this weekend, because there's 8 stations. So, and I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, go at a super fast pace. So if I have to stop and refill, I don't mind doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no, I've actually been curious about the hydration packs myself, just because, you know, if we do more trail running and longer runs, mm-hmm, obviously we saw in Yosemite last weekend. Was that last weekend?
I think so.
Yeah.
It seems like it was a long time ago, but yeah, it was last week.
Yeah, the single bottle wasn't enough water.
Right. We talked about that.
And I don't think I'll ever carry two bottles, one in each hand. That doesn't seem comfortable. So kind of the next, and we've talked about that the waist belt is definitely not for me.
Yeah.
I've tried them years ago, but it just bounces way too much. So mm-hmm. the pack seems like the best way to go. And I've seen a lot of ultra runners do that. So if they can carry that for 50 miles or 100 miles, I can probably carry it on a trail for 20.
Right.
And then it'd be nice to just have pockets to keep stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I normally run with my iPhone with Run Meter. I ditched the Garmin a long time ago for Run Meter. I know Roslyn mentioned on our Facebook page she's kind of done the same thing recently. But it'd be nice on a long trail run in hot weather to kind of even ditch the iPhone on the armband and just kind of be able to put it in your pack and have that same benefit of getting your mileage that way, but not have something on your arm or a Garmin on your wrist. So. Right.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, still took my Garmin, which was, you know, fine. No big deal. It doesn't really bother me, but it was nice to not have the armband, even though I don't take my iPhone on my arm. I take just an iPod, which is significantly smaller. But it was nice just to not have that band on my arm, you know, kind of just taut and kind of sweaty. So it was kind of nice to not have to do that.
Now, it didn't bother you in the shoulders or anything? Didn't dig in? No rash on the shoulder?
No, I was kind of expecting, like, at the end of that day or maybe even the next day, like, okay, where did I get chafed? You know, just because it's a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really bother me anywhere. And I think just the fact that, you know, we've done hiking and stuff like that, we always take packs with us. I usually take a Camelback with me, you know, kind of getting used to having a pack on anyways. I mean, obviously, I've never done it while running, but just having a pack on me, I think, kind of helps. That we've done that before. Quite a bit. So yeah, so anyways, that was my long run. And then didn't actually do any weight training because I've actually been having some, I guess, I don't know if I strained a muscle or a couple muscles when I fell in Yosemite, I guess last week.
Mm-hmm.
But like the right side of my upper body, kind of chest muscle and a back muscle has just kind of been bothering me. So I've just kind of not done any weight training at all just because I don't want to make things worse. I figure I could just let that rest. But I did get on the bike or the spinner twice this week. So I had which is up one time from a couple of weeks in a row now. So maybe do a little bit more of that this week. Yeah. So I think overall I had a pretty good week. I think that's awesome. I think that was everything I did. Yeah. So how was your week?
I had a good week. I think that's three in a row.
Yeah.
Things are looking up.
Got out of that rut.
Out of my rut, I think for sure. Tuesday, I did my usual, as I always say, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday running. So Tuesday, I just... for some reason, ran another 5K again and just seemed to, I think my normal route on Tuesday just happens to be literally like 3.1 miles from the house.
Sure it is.
So I'm just like, okay, 5K, hit stop on the Run Meter and I'm kind of done.
Yeah.
Thursday, I actually went out to Roadrunner Sports, not that close to us, but the San Carlos one. And I did the Thursday Adventure Run,
mm-hmm.
which we actually talked about, had to have been a month ago.
Yeah.
This time you didn't come with me. I invited a couple friends and one was able to come with me. So we went out there and did that. And the adventure run, in case you missed it, is they give you like an hour and they kind of show you a map and you go running around to these businesses collecting raffle tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the hour, you go back to the store and they raffle off a whole bunch of stuff.
And it's a free event.
You register, but it's totally free.
Yeah.
No cost to you. Although they do have an official Adventure Run t-shirt that if you buy and wear during the run, you get doubled the tickets at every location. So I actually did buy the shirt because I think we're going to go do it next month again. So
yeah.
So I bought the shirt.
It came with the pint glass, right?
Oh, yeah, pint glass, which I totally didn't know it came with.
Yeah.
And then a couple extra. There was like an in-store raffle that you enter because of that, which I should say I didn't win anything again.
Again.
And even got less free samples this time.
That's disappointing.
But it was still actually a lot of fun. You know, ASICS was there with shoes. Somebody was there with calf sleeves to try on. I think Garmin was there with watches that you could try on the run.
That's pretty cool.
Brazen Racing, one of our favorite race organizers, was set up there promoting their races. Who else was there? I think that was pretty much... everybody that was there.
Didn't have any insoles this time?
I just remember that from last time. I actually got there earlier than we did when we went, but I still didn't have enough time because I had to run into the store and buy the shirt. And then it was walk back to the car to change shirts. And Yeah, I put the name in the raffle, and then it was time to go check out the map. But at least this time we got there before the race or the run actually started.
Mm-hmm.
So they put the map up, and I tried to write down a few names, and then I said, basically said to hell with it again, kind of like we did last month, and we just kind of took off running. And because there was two businesses were like in the same parking lot as Roadrunner.
Oh, okay.
So we just ran right over to those right away. But it was like super busy because everybody went there first.
Yeah.
So there was almost a line to get raffle tickets and stuff. But yeah, we ran around. I think we got like 4 miles in.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's funny, when we did it, there wasn't any additional challenges to do at any of the stops. And this time there were. So at one place we played Twister for additional tickets. And one of the other stops was a shooting a rubber band gun at cans. Was the extra little challenge that you could do for bonus tickets. So we did both of those.
Now, did you have to like win those things to like get bonus tickets, or you just had to like participate?
I don't know, because I did the, you know, Twister, they just made us do like 4 moves and then, okay, you guys are done, and mm-hmm. some more people hopped in. It was actually in like one of those blown up, like almost like a bouncy house thing, but not like, but there's no top over it. So that was weird, but... and then the rubber band gun with the cans, I just hit it on my first try.
Oh, so you're dead.
And then the friend that came with me hit it on his first try.
Nice.
So we were kind of out of there quick. But yeah, it was kind of just a lot of running around, and it was fun. Mm-hmm. Again, I think the friend that came with me, I think he had a lot of fun, so he might actually come back and join us next month. And like I said, it's a good way to get interval training in. You know, because you kind of just sprint from one location to the next, and... You know, you kind of have your break is kind of when you're waiting in line for tickets or you're waiting at a stoplight.
Right.
And I kept saying, you know, a couple more months of this and I'll be an expert in the San Carlos area there.
Yeah. You'll know exactly where to go. You won't even have to look at the map. You'll just look at the names of the businesses and you'll know exactly where to go. And I'll know exactly.
Yeah, because we ended up running a lot of the same stuff that me and you had run a month before. And a couple of the businesses were the same. So I'm sure every time they do it, there's going to be a few new people and a few old people
right.
that do it every time. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And were the raffle prizes pretty good again?
Yeah, they had ASICS shoes, a lot of food coupons and gift certificates. They did give away a couple of Garmin watches.
Wow.
One of which went to the person that ran the most miles, which was 6.1
mm-hmm.
is what they said. So, I was definitely short of that, which... I don't even know how they got 6 miles in, if they actually went to many of the raffle stops, because it does take a minute, you know, to kind of pop in the business and get the ticket and then pop back out, or yeah. to do those challenges, kind of take up some time. So.
Well, even just like stoplights.
Right. Too. I mean, it kind of sucks up a lot of time. So I don't know, maybe whoever won that, you know, put a Garmin on and went and did laps in the parking lot.
Maybe.
Or around the block. Until they got six, and then, I mean, that's kind of a good idea to win a watch. If,
yeah.
You know, I didn't realize that was going on until afterwards. So, but yeah, bummer, didn't win anything again. One lady won like 2 pairs of ASICS shoes.
Oh my gosh.
And she had won the month before, I think, a pair of ASICS shoes or something else really good.
Cause, so she's set for a while.
Yeah. Cause everybody was like, oh man, you again, you know, stop that. You know, everybody kept yelling, you know, mix up the tickets when she won the second time. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I don't know how many people actually have a Roadrunner anywhere near them, but considering it's free and you could win some cool stuff, you know, like my friend said, it, you know, time really flew by,
mm-hmm.
you know, 4 miles. I mean, it seemed like 10 minutes because you start like, oh man, I got to get back to the store in time for the raffle. And yeah, flies by. So a lot of fun. That was my Thursday. Saturday, like you said, we went out to Iron Horse. You did 13. I did 10.
Mm-hmm.
10.1. I'll take a little extra credit there. So in the same amount of time, you did 13, I did 10. But I actually had a pretty good run. My IT band was kind of screaming by the end, but that's kind of been my long-term nagging issue
mm-hmm.
for quite a while. And I don't know what to do about it. I've been very lazy about getting on the foam roller, so I need to do a little bit better at that. But yeah, I actually tried out... Oh, I forgot. Tuesday, new pair of running shoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not really that new.
You had a couple of new things this
week. Yeah, a lot of new stuff this week for me. I normally run in ASICS Kayano 17s. So Tuesday, I ran in a pair of Kayano 18s for the first time, which I bought them like a month ago. Just the first time I actually took the tags off and decided to kind of throw them in the rotation. So
see, if it was me, I would have like taken them out of the box, taken the tags off, like put them on and walked around the house with them. That's kind of my thing with the running shoes.
Yeah, no, I kind of left them in the box.
Just kind of let them sit.
And then the week before, I went to go grab them to take them out on my run. And I was like, oh, I never took the tags off. And I was like in a hurry. So I said, to hell with it. I'll wear them next week. So I think on the weekend before, I actually took the tags off and kind of got them ready.
Yeah.
They were kind of sitting in the corner there ready to go. They're like, use me. Come on. So I took them out. I mean, they felt fine. I mean, they're really not that much different than the 17s prior. So no complaints there. I guess, you know, maybe they're a half an ounce lighter. And I'd like to say, like, ooh, I did notice, you know, that they're a half an ounce or an ounce lighter, but it's probably in my head and doesn't really make a difference. But
yeah, I don't think I'd notice something like that.
Yeah. So that was Tuesday. I tried those out on the run Saturday. I had a new pair of REI shorts that I tried. I was wearing, I have actually the tag so I can remember, REI Fleet Running Shorts. And I actually got these at REI because they have a bigger pocket in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So right above your rear end, you can actually, there's a zipped key pocket, mm-hmm. and then there's kind of like a...
So I like to call the butt pocket?
Yeah, the butt pocket.
Yeah.
And then right next to that, there's kind of a mesh pocket that you can actually stick like four goos in there.
That's pretty good.
Because actually, when I tried them on, I actually put a bunch of goos in there just to see how they would carry. So this weekend, I took that just so I could kind of see how it would feel with running with some goos in there. So I put two goos in there, and it felt really weird.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not used to having anything else in my short pockets except for my key at the most, and half the time I don't even have a key with me.
Where do you normally carry your goos?
I would not. I paused to think. Well, if I take my handheld, I put them in there.
Okay. And so I guess the majority of the time you take your handheld.
Yeah, most of the time that I've had longer runs.
Yeah.
I've done that, or I've put one goo in my back pocket.
Okay.
Before, on some other running shorts that I have. So this time I had my key and two goos, and these being newer shorts, it just seemed kind of weird. I don't know. I'm just not used to carrying that much stuff, you know, mm-hmm. not that goos weigh a ton of weight or anything.
Right.
But it was just kind of awkward, and I don't think the shorts kind of like, they just didn't feel tight enough in a way. I was always felt like my pants were drooping in the back, so I had to like reach back to check where the goos were, but they were fine, and it wasn't really moving.
And they were
really
halfway
moving.
Down your...
Yeah. Just giving a show as I run.
Right.
But yeah, no, they actually worked out fine.
Did you kind of get used to them or no?
I guess so.
Okay.
I think it was just subconsciously in my head. I kept thinking that like I thought my pants were sagging all the time, but it wasn't. They were just something I guess I got to get used to. Although I don't know what it would feel like if I actually did stick like four goos in the pocket.
Maybe they'd actually sag a little bit, or you'd have to tie them.
I'd probably have to tie them really tight.
Yeah.
So that worked out okay. So I actually took the two goos in my shorts, and then on Saturday, I had my Nathan handheld, so I actually put some Goo Chomps in my handheld. And I actually mm-hmm. didn't take the goos. I just took the Goo Chomps because I really just had the goo to try out the shorts.
Yeah.
So I took Goo Chomps for the first time on a run, which I think I tasted them once at an expo.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what got me to buy a couple. So they taste really good. Didn't bother my stomach. Different than goo, I kind of like spread out the eating of them over mm-hmm. time. But it was funny. When I ripped open the package, I like... didn't rip it open low enough, so I like tear off the top and it's still not open, so I'm like running and kind of fumbling with the package. And then you know, I asked you how you eat them, and you said that you kind of just like you would tear it off and then just kind of drop them in your mouth. Like
I kind of squeeze them out of the package
but
I don't do Goo Chomps. I do the Honey Stinger Chews.
Okay.
So a little bit different consistency, or not consistency, but I don't know.
Yeah, so the Goo Chomps are a lot stickier.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, they seem sticky to me. So when I tried your method of just kind of shaking them out the bag, I got nothing.
Nothing happened.
So I ended up having to like reach my fingers in to kind of get the chomps out, which was fine, but then it kind of left my fingers a little sticky after a while.
Yeah.
So no big deal. Actually, I think I'm probably going to keep using the Goo Chomps as just something to kind of mix it up from the goo. And instead of taking my chocolate outrage all the time, or if I'm doing a half or a full marathon, it's something else to kind of expand my taste buds, I guess, during the run. So
yeah, I think it's nice to have something else too, especially because you're pretty specific about just liking the chocolate outrage on the goo, and that's kind of, and maybe a vanilla bean here or there, but not really. So I think it's probably good to be able to mix it up so you're not like sick of just the chocolate outrage.
Yeah, I'm normally the kind of person I find the one thing that I like and I will eat just that for forever.
Yeah.
Which is why I've, you know, it's why in the closet downstairs I have a box of chocolate outrage.
Exactly.
And that's probably all I will eat for a long time. But I'll probably mix in the Good Chomps.
Yeah.
Something a little bit different. I just got to do a little better job of opening the package and and getting them out and stuff. So.
And what actually, I guess I didn't think about it at the time, but what I've done or what I do now when I go on a long run or half marathon and if I take the Honey Stinger chews, I actually rip them off. I actually rip the package open before I actually go on the race.
Oh,
that way it's already open and I don't have to worry about tearing it off. What am I going to do with the little tab? That sort of thing. That way it's open. And just when I go eat them, I just eat them.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. I didn't think, no problem.
Yeah. Had you told me that beforehand, that would have been a little easier.
You know, when you get used to kind of just doing something, you don't really think about like, oh yeah, do this before, do that. Hey, we actually talked about nutrition today.
Oh yeah. We could tell you we never did. So
yeah. It only took us, 26 episodes.
Yeah. Actually, and then on our run on Saturday, it actually warmed up a little bit towards the end. So I actually almost, blew through my entire bottle.
Wow.
Which was a lot of water, although I probably didn't drink enough the day before. I kind of easily notice it when I don't drink enough the day before.
Yeah, you feel it?
Yeah, and then I just drink more on a run day, so.
Yeah.
I kind of tried out a lot of new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, most of it worked out. I guess all of it worked out.
It sounds like it did.
So that was our week.
It just sounds like a little bit of fine-tuning, just with stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're recording this on July 2nd, so the year is halfway over.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I would just check in and say, I guess we kind of set some goals at the beginning of the year, like most people do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good chance to check in and see how we're doing. So how was your, what goals did you set at the beginning of the year?
I don't remember exactly what I set. What I do remember is I think I want to do more trail running, do some trail half marathons. So I have been doing more trail running.
Mm-hmm.
Have done 2 trail half marathons and probably will be doing one next month.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one at the end of this month. So that's going well. Maybe I still kind of want to do a little bit more trail running, other than races, just on the weekends.
More training.
Yeah.
Like actually
there you go.
On the trails.
Yeah. Training. Yeah. So I'd like to do a little bit more of that. I think I probably said do a marathon, which I'm pretty sure I won't do until December. Mm-hmm. CIM. And I don't remember any other specific goals except for probably cross training, which I've consistently gotten on the spinner at least once a week, I think. But I think I'd like to do it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess overall I'm pretty good with my goals. I just want to do a little bit more of what I'm already doing,
right?
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, I think my goals for this year were pretty straightforward. Was do my first half marathon.
Yeah.
Do my first marathon. Knocked out the half marathon in mid-January, so that one was easy.
Yeah, you took care of that one pretty quick.
And I've done, how many halves have I done this year? 5?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with 5. And then marathon, haven't done it yet. I don't want to say for sure I'll do it in December, but I'm registered for December.
Yeah.
My hope at the beginning of the year was to run San Francisco Marathon in July, and I backed out of that several months ago as certain things started aching on my body. For me, it's still a good year. Fairly consistent. I'm actually really happy with June. I actually got my mileage back up to basically where I was in January.
Oh, that's good.
So, after, like I said, my rut of May, like April was kind of like a banged up month, and then May was kind of more of a rut month. So it was really good to have June kind of pick up the mileage a little bit and kind of get back to where I want to be. And now it's just kind of continue that forward. And I was looking at the calendar today. I'm like probably 4 weeks away from when I need to start my marathon training, or say that I'm starting my marathon training, I guess. So I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully I'll get the marathon at the end of the year when we both do CIM. So yeah, so that's our check-in for the year, I guess, our midway point.
I can't believe it's like halfway already.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
So like I said, I mean, we've done a lot of races.
We have.
So far this year, and maybe it'll actually be interesting to see if we do more races in the second half of the year or the first part of the year.
Yeah.
Because I think for me, I'm kind of thinking that I'll be doing less races as the year goes on, because I want to focus at the end of the year towards completing my first marathon. So sometimes doing all the little races kind of gets in the way.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to do a 5K when you should be training and doing a 14 miler that day. Not quite an equivalent thing to be doing. So Although we do already have some races on the calendar, so.
Yeah. And I think it makes sense to have less races leading up to training or during your training for the full marathon. Because if the full marathon is really like your ultimate goal, then it makes sense to dial down the amount of races mm-hmm. that you're doing. Unless they really fit into your program. The schedule,
right. Yeah,
which I'm sure the majority of the time it's not.
Yeah. So so today we were going to go. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No.
No.
We were going to spend some time talking about the half marathon. The first thing we're going to talk about is 10 tips for your half marathon.
Yeah, 10 tips for first-time half marathon.
First-time half marathon. Right. So I know a lot of beginners out there, although these are kind of hardcore tips, I think, to a certain degree.
I think some of them are.
So why don't you run us through them?
Okay. So number one is start from where you are. So I know that they mentioned in this article, you know, it sounds obvious, but I think it's something that a lot of people can easily... not pay attention to, you know, like, you know, assess where your level is, you know, are you like never run before ever, or, you know, what's your base like, you know, have you been a runner for several years, but haven't really gone past, you know, a 10K or, you know, whatever it may be. Basically just kind of, you know where you are, start from there and try not to do too much too soon. I think that was the main thing with that one. And then kind of, check, you know, or assess your body, like where your aches and pains, are you having any, what are some things you need to look out for and that sort of thing. So that mm-hmm. was number one. You have anything to add?
No, I actually jumped to two and then I'll answer both of those actually.
Okay. So number two is give yourself plenty of time to train. So their recommendation here is for an absolute beginning runner, or someone who's had pain or injury associated with running, suggest a minimum of 16 weeks for training for a half marathon.
Yeah. My comment to that was, you know, it all depends with where you're at. A lot of people always ask me like, oh, how many weeks do I need to train for a half marathon?
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes people ask for a marathon and it totally depends on where you're at.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're coming from the couch, then I would actually say a minimum of 18 weeks to a half. If you've been running 3 miles 3 days a week, then you probably still want 16 weeks, but you probably could do it in 12. So it really depends on what your, individual fitness level is right now.
Right. And then so it says where you are and...
Yeah. And then what your history has been with injuries.
You're right.
You know, if
right.
you've been that's totally healthy or if you had knee surgery 2 years ago, you certainly don't want to rush it. So...
Right.
That was the comment I had.
Do you remember how long your training plan was or your training was for your first half?
For my first half?
Yeah. Do you remember?
I think I followed a kind of a set training plan probably for... 12 or 16 weeks.
Okay.
But I kind of was running. See, my half was in January, and I think I really got back into running probably, I think I loosely in April. Mm-hmm. And kind of was really back to it towards like June.
Yeah.
So I really had like a 6 month build up to it.
Right.
I didn't come off the couch 16 weeks and then run my half. So, So I like I said, I've had a lot of injury issues, especially from like years ago. So when I came back to running more seriously last year, I really took things slow.
Right.
And was more interested in making sure I could run for the rest of my life and not necessarily be in a hurry to get my first half or my first full out of the way. I really wanted, my goal for the rest of my life was like, I want to be able to run like 3 miles, 3 days a week forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I was like, oh, if I can do that, I can always just do a local 5K and that would be enough to keep me happy and sane and healthy and all that stuff. So. Yeah, that's
keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a long answer, but yeah.
That's okay. it's good though to have like, you know, individual input too. So number three, have a vision for how you want to feel during and after completing your half marathon. Did you have a vision of how you wanted to feel?
I wanted to feel awesome. No. I just wanted to finish the first half.
Yeah. So you didn't really go into what, like the details of exactly how you'd feel at the end or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't even know how to answer that in some ways because, you know, you're going to expect some, I don't want to say pain, you're going to expect some discomfort from running 13 miles. It's not easy.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't really think about how I would feel and I didn't focus on time, although I think that's going to be on the list down the line.
Yeah, don't jump ahead here.
Jump ahead. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think mainly what they're saying is kind of like, you know, like the positive thinking and visualization, like, don't see yourself like mentally struggling in the race and not being able to get through it, but like see yourself, you know, like crossing the finish line and completing that goal. And, you know, if you kind of keep thinking that, you know, and then it'll, you know, your goal will come to fruition. So I think that's kind of what they were mainly focusing on. And I'm a big believer of like positive thinking and, you know, visualizing yourself. Well, maybe not visualizing, but I'm a big believer of like positive thinking and just, you know, positive thoughts. So I think it kind of goes along with that. So when I do that, when I'm having a tough time, or, for both of my marathons, I've done that, and just, you know, like I've started kind of feeling down and feeling like, I know we're talking about half marathons, but still applies, you know, kind of start feeling down. You start getting these negative thoughts like, oh, you know, my legs, or oh, this, or oh, that's bothering me. And then, you know, I just get to a point where I'm like, okay, there's absolutely no negative thoughts that I'm going to be able to let into my head, because otherwise I'm going to feel bad, literally feel bad, you know, doing this race. So it's like only positive stuff. So it's like, okay, you know, you're feeling pretty good. All right. You know, you trained, you know, and that's where you get into like your mantras and all that. So, okay. So that was kind of a long-winded comment too. But so number four is take time to learn good running technique. So I don't know that that's that different from number one, start from where you are. I mean, I think this goes into a little bit more detail, saying that kind of the first 8 weeks, if you're, you know, of just beginning to do your half marathon training, is you're not going to be building a lot of mileage necessarily, or, you know, making your pace any faster. It's basically just kind of getting good technique and getting your body used to running, you know, you kind of learn to run well. So I don't know that it's that different from kind of just start from where you are.
Yeah. I mean, I've been running for a long time, and I'm always constantly working on my running technique, and I think mine is not good most of the time.
Yeah.
So I'd have a hard time telling a beginner to start with good running technique, because I couldn't explain it to you perfectly. I might not be able to help you. And I will say, if you're a slower runner, I think it's harder to have good technique.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier the faster you run. If you're a 12-minute miler, I think it's more difficult to have good technique than it is if you are a 9-minute miler.
But I think part of that goes with the fact that you had to build up to be a 9-minute miler. And so with that came more miles,
right?
More running time. So just by being out there longer over a longer period of time, you know, to get you from the 12-minute miles to the 9-minute miles, just that by itself, like your body's just has run more. So maybe you've developed better technique just because you've done it more.
No, I agree. I'm just saying you're not going to have that great technique on day one.
Oh, no, absolutely. So right. Like, I think that's what they're kind of saying.
Take time to learn it in the beginning. It's not quite really realistic. It's you're going to have to go over time to get better. As you get faster, I think it'll be easier to get better. So, yeah, that's a random thought, I guess.
Okay, so number five, the second phase of your training is a conditioning phase where you start adding more miles. So that's interesting. It says only add additional distance and miles to the extent that good running form allows. But that kind of goes with what you were just saying. I mean, you may not have good running form, or at least not great running form. But nonetheless, I think most training plans are going to have you start increasing the mileage at this point anyways.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're feeling good, add mileage. If you're not feeling good, if you start having pains or injuries, take a break early, stop early, take time off early.
Before the injury gets
Before it gets worse, because, you know, people that have been running a long time, once you get a nagging injury, once you take it to a certain point where it's really just killing you, there's not much you can do. And then you're forced to take huge amounts of time off to heal stuff. So I guess I would say listen to your body early and don't go crazy. Add that mileage gradually. What's that rule? 10% a week?
Yeah.
They say, which you might not be able to follow that in weeks 1, 2, and 3 if you're coming as a true beginner.
Right.
Because you're not going to go from 4 the first week to 5. You'd be breaking that rule. But,
right.
But definitely add it gradually, and don't get crazy and listen to your body and don't hurt yourself. So
and
6.
And if you do hurt yourself.
Take
the time. Yeah. All right. Number 6. I think this is probably the second most important, if not the most important tip on here. I think if it's your first half marathon, don't worry about speed at all. So basically just focus on, you know, finishing. Don't set an unreasonable time goal. We know with it being your first half marathon, I personally think that your goal should just be
to finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you could, I think that's the ultimate goal. Now in your mind, you could maybe try to set some sort of time expectations, but I wouldn't focus on that because, I mean, if you haven't done that distance before, it's kind of hard to know exactly where you're going to be, and you don't want to feel disappointed or discouraged, you know, if you miss that time goal. I think for your first half, should just try to just the goal should just be to finish it.
I agree completely. Just finish. That's what I did at my first half marathon. Mm-hmm. I really didn't care what my time was. I just wanted to finish my first half marathon. So I think you have to come into it with a little bit of a plan. But don't go shooting for awesome times, or don't take your 5K pace and say that's going to be my pace for the half.
Right.
The one benefit I always tell people about running a slower first half marathon is that's automatically going to be a PR for you.
Yeah.
So your second race, it's going to be super easy to PR, because now you'll have a baseline of what to shoot for. So if you run, 2:30 in your first half, not worrying about time or anything like that, then, you can set that goal on your next half to be 2:20, 2:25, whatever. Then you get your PR, and then you set the next one at 2:15 and you PR. And I got to say, PRing is a lot of fun, because I've done 4 half marathons this year that were all PRs, all in a row. And that's basically what I did. Started slow at the beginning of the year and got a couple minutes faster. And it's always fun to, keep getting that PR. So,
yeah.
So I'd set the bar low, right?
But I think it's also okay if you don't PR every time.
No, right. I'm just saying it's a lot of fun.
I know, but I think that's also kind of unrealistic that you're going to necessarily PR every time.
No, I know. But one of the great things about being a beginner runner is that you are going to get, it's going to be impossible. You're going to get tons
faster,
of PRs.
You're going to get better. Yeah.
That first 5K, 10K, half, full marathon, automatic PR. And then, odds say that you're probably going to run it faster the second time you do it.
As long as you keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you're a beginner, lots of PRs. When you get to like your level, they come fewer and farther between as it becomes tougher and you actually start having to worry about training and nutrition and all kinds of stuff. So enjoy it as a beginner runner. So that's my advice.
All right. Number seven, after the conditioning phase comes the mastery phase of your training. So this is where you will master your event by practicing different aspects of your event during your workout. So again, it talks about visualizing yourself like at the start line and at the finish line. And then I think the most important tip that's part of this one is not getting caught up in the frenzy of going out too fast. I think that goes for
everybody.
Everybody or most people. And I think all race distances, whether it's, a 10K, a half marathon, a full marathon, everything in between.
I think I've gone out too fast on every single race I've done this year.
Seriously?
I think so.
Every single one?
I'm trying to think of when I didn't.
Not even your first half? No, because you got.
I definitely went out too fast on my first half.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was just, it was, my first half, I actually did, my plan was to do the run walk thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I did out the gate was I skipped like my first walk break. So,
So you abandoned your plan.
Yeah. They said go. And I said, wait, what was my plan? And I just took off. But it's really hard at the beginning of an event, especially your first half or your first full. I think excitement runs over you and you just kind of want to take off and start putting in the miles. So,
I think when it's a big event like that too, because it was the Rock and Roll Arizona. So I think when it's such a big event too, and you got so many people and everybody's all pumped up, I think it's even more difficult to not get caught up in the frenzy versus maybe a smaller, more local race.
Yeah, that was actually downtown. There was tons of people out.
Yeah.
And after sitting in a corral for way too long.
Right, because it was delayed. Yeah, so I can see you're kind of just antsy to go.
But yeah, no, it's a good point. Visualize, definitely start out slowly.
Yes.
Contain yourself for that first couple miles. First mile, maybe 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
First 5.
Yeah.
10 in a full.
Who knows?
So. All right, what do you got? 8.
8. Have a plan for hydrating and fueling during your event and practice this during your training. So like you were saying, you tried the Goo Chomps, this week, during a training run. You're not going to go out there and, try them on a race, whether it was another half marathon or a full marathon. So definitely plan that out. I tried my pack out on a training run that way. This past weekend. So now I know what that feels like. And if there was any problems, what adjustments I need to make. So if I use it on a race, I'm more prepared for that. And then also, knowing what you're going to eat and when. Starting from like your pre-race food and nutrition, going through what you're going to do during the race, and maybe even afterwards too, like for recovery. I know the biggest focus is pre-race and during, but if you go as far as even just the recovery, that would be good too.
Yeah, so, I was going to say on that, I think sometimes you need to look at your long run in your training program as not really a long run, but as a practice run or a practice race. So if you're training for like a half, that when you get to that 9 mile or 10 mile or maybe 11 or 12 if you're going that far in your training. Don't think of it as a long run, but it's your practice race. So eat what you're going to, it's your chance to practice what you're going to eat on race day, to drink the same amount that you might drink on race day, even the recovery afterwards. It's a chance to practice all that. So it's a practice run, not a long run. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah. And I think making it realistic too of what you're going to eat before. like, don't, you know, don't get used to eating something that you're not going to be able to eat if you are going to,
if you're traveling,
right? Or, like, if your first half marathon is going to be traveling, you're staying at a hotel, and you know that certain things aren't going to be available there, maybe don't eat that, you mm-hmm. know, like, is get used to eating that during your long runs, or like you said, your practice races, your practice runs.
I think it's good to practice the time too. Yeah. If your normal time to go out on a run on a Saturday is 9 a.m., well, are you training for a race that's going to be a 7 a.m. start? Because mm-hmm. then you might want to at least once practice 5 a.m. wake up call, you know, and 7 a.m. running, you know, account for that drive time or travel time or, parking and porta potties and all that stuff. So,
right.
Your race might be 2 hours after your wake up time versus maybe normally on the weekends you wake up and you just throw on your shoes and you're out of there in 10 minutes. So you don't even eat.
Right.
You know, so
I don't know that I'd go as far as waking up at 5 in the morning.
Well,
on a practice. I mean, it makes sense, but personally, I don't know that I'd go as far as doing that.
Okay. Make it
but
six.
I have like, okay, you know, if I'm going to be waking up 2 hours before like a race, you know, okay, I do adjust my eating, you know, mm-hmm. based on when the race is going to be and kind of practicing that. So, but I don't know that I'd get up, you know, on a practice run super early just to practice that. Just although race. I do most of my running in the morning, and when I run before work, I end up getting up early anyways, but not usually at five. So.
Well, you know, it's funny. It reminds me of, remember, was it Rock and Roll Las Vegas? It was like running at night.
Oh, right.
A lot of people got sick and they said, you know, well, it was contaminated water. And, you know, I think a lot of it was just a lot of people weren't used to running at night.
Right.
You know, we're used to kind of waking up, kind of empty your stomachs and doing our races and our runs. Mm-hmm. And then when you start running at night like that for an event and the event starts at 5 or 6 or whatever it was, you're not used to having breakfast and then lunch and being up all day and doing mm-hmm. that. So I think that was good proof that you kind of need to practice whatever it is, especially if it's really far off from what you normally do.
Right.
You know, if you're normally up on a Saturday morning and you run, you know, most likely you're fine. If you're the kind of person that always runs in the evening, even on the weekends, then you probably should practice that morning run at least, you know, once or twice or a couple times before your race.
Yeah. So. No, and that's true. I think if I ever did a late start race, like one starting in the afternoon or evening, I'd probably need to practice that because that's not what I typically do.
So. I wouldn't know what to eat beforehand. So.
Right. Or, I mean, I wouldn't know what to eat even just for breakfast, right. knowing I was going to do a race later that day or lunch. And then do I eat something before, like an hour before? Okay. I think we're on 9. Reduce your mileage and learn to contain and store your energy for the last week before your event. So basically, taper.
Which you're no good at.
I'm getting better, I think. Am I getting better? I think I'm getting better. I think I'm getting better. I just kind of get antsy. I think, like, you know, most people do when they taper. I just kind of start feeling like, oh, I gotta, you know, a couple different things. One, I just feel like I need to run because, I don't know, I feel good when I run, you know, so that's I think one of it is just kind of like a mental aspect. And I think the other thing, a different mental aspect, is like, you know, having the unrealistic thought that, oh, if I don't run this much during this week, you know, before the race or the 2 weeks before the race, mm-hmm. and doing like a marathon, that I'm going to lose all my conditioning, you know, that I've done, you know, in the last year, or, you know, which is completely unrealistic. But I think still, like, you have a slight fear of that, of like deconditioning and losing your training if you taper. But I think it's extremely important.
Yeah, you're not going to gain or lose any fitness that last week, week and a half, 2 weeks leading up to that race.
Exactly.
So it's a good chance to rest your body.
Yeah.
On a side note, I just want to mention that, you know, we have people of all levels that listen to the podcast from very, very beginner to very accomplished runners, let's call them. But like, because it's a question that I get asked from people who are total kind of beginners to running is that, if you're training for your first half marathon, you don't have to run 13.
Correct.
As a training run.
Correct.
For your 13 mile. So most beginner training plans will train you up to 10 miles as your long run.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. You'll be totally fine. At least doing 10 for a half.
Yeah.
Most training plans will call for 20 if you're doing a full.
You'll be fine. I've done that. Yeah. I think for my first marathon, I did 20. I think that was the highest. The longest, not the highest.
I think for my first half. I don't know if I trained up to 10 and a half or 11. Not sure. It was one of those 10 and a half or 11, but then subsequent half marathons that I did this year, I know I only trained up to 10
mm-hmm.
leading up to it. And that was, I think, totally fine as long as you're doing everything else in your training plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't freak out. Don't go out there. You know, I knew one person that like went out and ran 13 because they were like, oh, I got to do a half marathon in 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, you don't have to go that far, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because that's a question I get asked a lot by people that I meet. So
yeah, and it's true. Just, you know, follow those training plans. Yeah, you actually will finish the half marathon if you only train up to 10 or 10 and a half miles. You know, your body is going to be able to do those extra 2.5 miles or 3 miles.
Right. And, yeah, and of course, we're talking about beginners or,
right,
you know, if you're going out there and trying to run a half in, you know, 1:20, I don't know. You'll want to run
1:20,
past,
that's crazy.
1:30, whatever it is, you'll definitely want to run past 10. But for beginners, if you're new to the sport, 10 is fine for a long run and a half, and 20 mm-hmm. is certainly long enough for a full. So
absolutely.
Number 10, the most important one, the final one.
Yeah, I guess this is the most important one. Enjoy yourself at your event. Smile at others, thank volunteers, cheer others on, feel the joy of having a healthy body that can run 13.1 miles.
That one's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Have fun. Yep. I mean, that's kind of why.
Absolutely. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do a lot of my running so that I can run races because races are a ton of fun for me.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me going a lot of time is the races. They're so much fun. There's, you know, you have that camaraderie with everybody that you're kind of toeing the line with. Lots of people. I always say runners are good people.
Yeah.
So it's always a good crowd out there and stuff. So have fun. Smile at the camera.
Yeah.
Even if you don't buy the photos.
Right.
Because they're too expensive.
or if you do a Brazen Race, you get some free photos.
Free photos. But yeah. Yeah, smile out there, have fun, encourage other runners.
Thank the volunteers.
I'll give you a pass if it's your first half marathon. You know, I don't expect you to remember to thank the volunteers.
Right? But, no, absolutely.
But if you've done a few, start thanking the people that are out there.
And I do that, and I think they actually do appreciate, you know, you saying thanks as you're running through.
Yeah,
because I appreciate them. So
I'm really good at thanking them at a 5K, a half marathon. Because I don't know, for me, a half marathon is still pretty tough. You know, after about a couple miles, I'm sorry, I can't remember that kind of thing. So I'm too worried about finishing and getting my water and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, thank your volunteer. So
what do you usually tell them? You just say thanks, or what do you say when you
I usually just say thanks or thanks for helping out. Mm-hmm. So I think I say thanks for coming out.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe, those are my go-to things.
And then maybe sometimes you go, no. When you check it. Yeah.
Water. That's all I say. I usually say thanks for helping and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Because I, you know, a lot of these events, well, all of these events couldn't happen without the volunteers.
Absolutely.
So that's 10 tips to help you if you're a beginner or an expert.
Actually,
I think it's always good to actually like these lists because it always reminds me of things that I should be doing.
It's kind of interesting because it was 10 tips for first time half marathoners or half marathon runners. But yeah, I think most of those, if not all, are applicable to
everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, we all kind of forget.
Just
I think the more you run, I think the more you forget the
basics,
the basics and the simple ones. And I think when you get really into the sport, you try, you know, maybe you're pushing too hard and
end up dehydrated.
Don't listen to your body.
Right.
Because you're pushing yourself too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get dehydrated. End up in the ER or something like that.
Right.
So,
thanks.
Yeah, so that's 10 tips. The other thing we're going to talk about was also regarding the half, which is a bunch of information about the half. It's kind of some random stats that was actually or is in Runner's World this month.
No, it's August.
August. Well, that's issues. Basically the one that... Well, I thought that was July.
No, it's August.
Okay.
So Runner's World, August.
Just came out.
Yes.
So you have that in front of you. I don't have that luxury.
Mm-hmm. You want me to talk about that?
Yeah, so whatever you think was kind of interesting in there.
Yeah, there's a couple things that are interesting here about the half or the Pikermi.
Pikermi. Okay, yeah. Go ahead and explain that then.
Why? You didn't want me to, huh?
No, it's fine. Because
you think it's dumb.
No, I think it's...
I just think it's a funny term. So I guess there's somebody or some movement where they're trying to get the half marathon to... Which I had never heard of ever at all. Mm-hmm. Ever. I don't know if anybody else out there had. But trying to get the half marathon renamed or getting people to call it the Pikermi. You know, like instead of a half marathon, because they're saying it's such a big accomplishment that, you know, you shouldn't be considered like doing half of anything because it's a full accomplishment. And then the person who picked the name of Pikermi, they picked it because Pikermi is a town that was half the distance between Marathon and Athens, which is, you know, Marathon is where the marathon got its name. So it made sense that if you wanted to call a half marathon, you'd call it the Pikermi. So.
Yeah, I totally get like wanting the name change and not calling it half of something, but Pikermi.
Just the name itself?
Yeah, you gotta come up with something better.
I think it's kind of fun to say. That's the only reason. I mean, I still am fine calling it the half marathon, but I just think Pikermi, I don't know, it's kind of fun. And it makes me think of Kermit the Frog for some reason.
Uh-huh.
Like Pikermi? Like Kermit?
I could just see the themed events now.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. It makes me think of Kermit the Frog. I don't know if that's just my weird head, but anyways, so let's talk about other interesting things. So how about some records, some half marathon records?
Okay.
So world records, 58:23 for men. That is ridiculously fast. And that was set in 2010 in Lisbon.
So I'm shooting for my goals. I'm shooting to try to get under two, and the pros are the record's under one.
Awesome. Yeah. So for fastest women, world record 105.50. That was set in 2011.
Is that Dina?
No.
Oh.
This is world.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. So at United Arab Emirates. And then half marathon American records. That's what you were thinking.
Yeah.
So Ryan Hall, under 60 also. 59.43. That was in 2007 in Houston. He's the only American to break an hour. And then Dina Castor for the women, 107.34 in Berlin in 2006. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and just kind of, that's crazy fast.
Yeah. So when are you going to set a record?
Like, yeah, right. Those are like fast 10K times.
Yeah, they're basically done and in the car going home before I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy. Yeah. Anyways. Let's see. What else should we talk about?
I mean, the other thing in here is basically that, it points out how popular the half marathon is. Mm-hmm. Clearly way more popular than a full marathon.
Yeah.
Easy to understand because it just takes less time to prepare for and right. less time to train for and doesn't kick your butt like a full 26.2 yep. does. So, and the popularity has definitely, gone through the roof the last 10 years, I guess.
Yeah. It looks like just the number of finishers in the U.S. for a half marathon has gone from, I think in 1990, it's gone from 303,000. And into 2011, it's gone to 1.6 million. So that's a pretty good increase, pretty good mm-hmm. growth there.
Yeah, and what is it? Most people say that they love the half marathon more than any other event, right?
Yep.
Was mm-hmm. it 37%?
37%. So what's your favorite distance? Basically, 37% half marathon, 20% 5K, 15% 10K, 13% marathon. So this is in you know, with the survey that the Runner's World did of, I think, just under 9,000 respondents, so... And talking about the growth, too, in the last several years, 65% ran their first half marathon in 2009 or later. Only 6% had run 13.1 miles before the year 2000. So, yeah, definitely something that's, and we talked about it before, too, just, you know, gaining popularity in the last several years.
I mean, running has definitely picked up its popularity. And then, I mean, you could really tell the difference between a half and a full at the rock and roll events. Where it's
right.
2,000 people doing the full and 14,000 people doing the half.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of see the disparity quite easily. So,
yep.
The other cool thing on here, prices.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of rock and roll marathon, they actually got they have the most expensive half. The rock and roll Las Vegas half marathon, right. which you mentioned briefly mm-hmm. earlier. So they listed at a cost of $175, which I think is more than I've paid for.
Full?
Any race ever that I've done so far.
Yeah, that's like more expensive than doing a Ragnar, and that's even factoring well, that's in your registration fee, your gas fee, your van rental. I mean, you know.
Maybe not all
maybe
of that,
not the van but, rental, but it but definitely would cover
registration,
your reg, team shirts.
Right.
Gas,
probably.
Maybe mm-hmm. some food.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, $175, that's pretty expensive. The cheapest one was, they list one for free and one for $5.
Yeah, I don't know. The free one is in Phoenix, and it's limited to 5,000 people, and then which is in February of next year. And then the cheapest half, although it's, again, limited to certain people, is the Gar Williams Half Marathon in Washington, D.C. this coming December. It's free if you're a member of the D.C. Roadrunners,
mm-hmm.
which is great, but then, so what's the cost if you're, or it's not free, it's $5. Wait, let me read that again. Oh, it's $5.
Yeah.
I guess if you're not a member,
if you're
it's
not
free
a member.
If you are.
Right.
Okay. So I just totally missed out the first time I read it. I'm like, wait, what's the cost for non? Okay. Just
yeah. And right also, there. I mean, the other half you can do is if you don't care about shirts or you don't care about medals or you don't care about crowds, you just head out on a weekend.
Yep.
Log your 13.1 and that's yeah. your half marathon.
Whether it's in Yosemite.
Totally. Or, yeah. I mean, yeah. actually, that's one good yeah, thing. You can really drive own. To a million different places and run in some great locations
mm-hmm.
absolutely free. Maybe at the worst you pay $5 for parking or something like that. So do your own half marathon. You can even go out and buy your own, get your own medal made, you know.
You could.
It's going to be cheaper than $175.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably get your own custom medal for all your long runs throughout the year.
I still think you should do, you know, like if you're going to do a half marathon though, maybe for your first one at least kind of do an organized one so you can kind of get all the crowd support and all of that. Because I think that's a big part in finishing it.
Yeah, I was actually talking to somebody a couple of days ago about half marathons, and I was actually saying they had done like smaller half marathons.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, you kind of at least once have to do the the big city half marathon, you know, that 20,000 people event, just to kind of experience it. Just because, I don't know how to explain it, it's just kind of different, but it's just kind of something you got to do one time, is just do the big massive event.
Yeah.
Although I kind of think it's kind of more fun with a smaller community, like half marathons and stuff, but you got to do the big one once.
Yeah. No, I agree. I definitely like my smaller, more local half marathons in general. I like those better than the big 20,000 plus or however many people. But I think, I agree. I think definitely do a big one if you can, at least once, because it's different energy. I mean, the energy level, I think, is definitely through the roof on those, you know, crowd support and all of that. So yeah, I think do it at least once. Mm-hmm. And if you really like those big events, then keep doing it. But for me, I just kind of like the smaller, more local half marathons or even shorter distances.
And I'm going to throw a total random surprise question on you. Does it annoy you in any way that events like Nike Women's Half Marathon that sell out and are super hard to get into have all these spots reserved for like running stores for people to participate in their training programs? Because a local running store sent us an email that they have like 30 or 40 spots for the Nike Women's Half if you like join their 8-week or 12-week training program at the cost of blah, 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 blah.
So the question was, does it annoy me?
Does it annoy you?
It does annoy me. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it's their event, so they can do
whatever
they choose to. And, you know, however they can get their name out, because, yeah, part of it is, you know, for charity, of course. But I think another big part of it is promoting their brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not every race. But, you know, in this case, I think in some of the other larger events, it's promoting their brand. So it's up to them, whatever they want to do, however they want to disperse the race entries.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it does kind of annoy me that they reserve a lot of space, which makes me wonder, honestly, you know, when you do the entry or the lottery thing, like how many actual spaces are available for people that are actually doing the lottery? Mm-hmm. Because they say like, okay, it's about 20,000 people that participate total, but it makes me wonder how many of those spots are actually available for the lottery entries. Like, I would believe it if it was just half.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's more than that, but I'm sure it's a lot.
I don't know. I mean, because then there's a local, or not a local, but a grocery chain out in this area that I won't mention that also has, I mean, a grocery chain. I don't know. That's kind of the same thing going on. It's not a training program, but if you buy certain products from their store and save the receipt and mail in your receipt with, like, you know, your information, then you can get picked for the race. Which, okay, you don't have to do a training program there, but okay, now this grocery chain now has how many spots reserved also? And it's okay, how many other businesses that you wouldn't think are related to running events also have spots?
I mean, that's what I was thinking.
And this is
about
a local running store too that you're talking about. Right.
It's not that close to San Francisco.
Right. So how many other? Yeah. So okay. it does kind of annoy
Didn't mean to go on a...
Sorry, I didn't...
A tangent there,
so
but
you didn't know
I saw
what you were
email.
Really asking.
Yeah, no, I saw the email this morning and I was like, oh, you know, I mean, that's kind of bummer. There's so many people that get denied from the lottery. And then there's all these spots that you can get in. I mean, it seems like a lot of spots that are just like random weird ways that you can get in that, you know, I would rather just them throw in the lottery and people who want to do it can do it. So.
Now, on the flip side to that, the company that I work for that I won't name either... actually gets a bunch of spots. Well,
too.
They get a lot of spots. Now, I've tried to enter because they do it on a total random lottery thing. Now, I've tried to enter the last 2 years and didn't get it. But now, obviously, if I got picked for that, I mean, it'd be great because I'd get picked, you know, to do it. But I think it's kind of it would still annoy me. So, but I guess it wouldn't be as bad if I got picked. So that's always a thing. Like, well, if it's me, you know, then it's not that bad. But anyways.
Yeah, I just want to throw that out there because I got the email.
Yeah.
I think it was this morning or yesterday morning.
Right. Yeah, because you had to go there and pay for the training program today.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You had to line up and do it.
Yeah, line's no fun.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so what else were we... Back to the half marathon.
Yeah, back to the
half marathon stats. Was there anything else?
I'm just scanning here to see if there was anything else.
Women a huge part of the event. Did we say that?
No, we haven't said that yet. But speaking of Nike women, so...
Yeah.
So, where women run. So, the half marathons with the most female finishers in the past 12 months... Top of the list, Nike Women's Half, San Francisco, October 2011. So with just over 15,000, that was for the half marathon. So I guess it's probably 20,000, including the marathon, probably.
Okay.
And then second on the list is the Disney's Princess Half in Florida, February of this year, 13,000. Tinkerbell Half in Anaheim, January of this year, 9,300. And then the More Fitness Magazine Women's Half in New York City. That was April of this year at 7,000. And I guess they say it's really popular. Just the distance itself is really popular among women because it's, even though it's a challenge, it can kind of fit into an already packed life, mm-hmm. I guess. So
at least compared to the full marathon.
Right. Yeah. So actually 59% of all half marathon finishers in the U.S. in 2011 were female. And in 2005, it was the first year more women ran the distance than men. So 53% women. 53% of finishers were women.
Yeah.
No, I mean, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I mean, it definitely feels like that when I've done the halves this year. Uh-huh. It seems like there's more women than men doing the half marathon. So
it'll be interesting if you do CIM, like what you feel there.
Well, it'll be a marathon. So I guess the stats would say it's going to be more even.
Right.
Or more men. I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Although from being at CIM in the past, it does seem like more men than women at the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it feels like more men than women, but not by a huge margin.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Okay. Was there anything else in here that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered the big ones.
Yeah.
I did find a new half marathon to run in there in Santa Barbara.
Oh.
Which seemed interesting. But from the, what is it called? Pier to Peaks?
Pier to Peak.
Yeah, in Santa Barbara, California.
Yeah, sea level to nearly 4,000 feet in the Santa Ynez Mountains.
Yeah, it kind of sounds challenging.
Yeah, it does.
Not that I'm ready for that, but
4,000 feet. Holy moly.
It just seemed kind of different. I'd never heard of it, so.
We definitely got to do some more trail running for that.
Yeah, I'll be looking that one up, actually, later. It's something to do next year, I guess, to really plan ahead, so.
Yeah, their destination one, Lake Tahoe Half Marathon. We should do that at some point.
Another one here on the West Coast for us.
Although, California, I'd have to train at elevation. I don't know how the heck that would feel.
Yeah, like I said, I've run once in, we both ran in Lake Tahoe once, which mm-hmm. I think was last year.
Yes, last summer.
And it really, I was really huffing and puffing wanting the oxygen.
It was tough.
So I think Tahoe's a, 5,000 or 6,000 feet elevation. So,
yeah, we weren't even running like a hilly course or anything. It was just like kind of residential streets and like a bike path or something. And yeah, it was tough. I felt my lungs were hurting.
Yeah. So I think someday we'll get up to Tahoe to do some type of event, or they do have a relay.
That's true.
Up there where you go all the way around Lake Tahoe with I think 7 people.
Yeah,
which is kind of a weird number because you can't really fit 7 easily into a van or a car. I mean, I guess you can, but that's really cramped.
Well, somebody's always running, right?
Oh, I guess that's what they're counting.
So the only issue is getting home.
Yeah,
getting there and getting home.
That's true. So I guess that's kind of do it. That's gonna do it for the show.
It's gonna kind of do it.
Yeah, it's gonna kind of do it for the show. We might throw some in right now. Next week, we have Dirty Dozen, which we mentioned at the end of every show for the last 3 weeks.
Right.
Probably because it weighs heavily on our
minds.
I was
just going to say that.
With what we're going to do. So, 6-hour race. I think my goal is going to be to do 15 miles.
Okay.
And whatever, you know, that should be under 3. Well, should be way under 3 hours, but.
Is that the longest you've run?
Oh, that's a great question.
Wise?
Longest I've ever run?
Yeah. I was just curious because I'm not sure what you've.
Say 13.2.
Okay.
And that's probably because I did a half and didn't run the corners correctly, so I'll throw in to make it 13.2. In Yosemite, we kind of ended up doing a lot of walking and running. At the end, we did a bunch of walking too that made it like almost past 13 somewhere. But yeah, 13 is definitely like the most I've ever run. So so I'm looking just to kind of build on that and kind of shoot for 15.
Mm-hmm.
If what I might do is just head to the car, take a nap, sit down for a while, eat, and then maybe go back out and run a couple more miles, or maybe I'll just go walk another loop on what's going to be like the 5K loop. So maybe I end up with like 18, but like the last 3 is just walking. But that's, I'm just shooting for 15 or more. That's not a good answer, but yeah, 15. Yeah.
What if are you mentally though, are you okay if you don't get to 15? Like if you're just not feeling good and you do 12 or
no,
nine
I honestly, I would be disappointed if I don't get 15 in.
Okay.
And that, well, it's just because I have 6 hours.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
no, I got it.
I mean, there's kind of no reason not to get 15.
But,
I mean,
but if you're not feeling well and say you like run 9, are you going to walk another 6 just to get the 15 in?
I might take a break or.
Okay. And then try again.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what's it? Like I said, if I can only do 9, that'll be done way in 2 hours. So I still have 4 hours to, you know. Heck, I could eat and take a 2-hour nap and still go out there and get to, you know, at least 13 or something. So, so yeah, for me, I guess anything less than 15 would be a disappointment.
Okay.
I'm crazy enough to, I might come back next week and say I ran 20.
Uh-huh.
I'm crazy enough to do that. And when I say run 20, you know, I'm sure that would be a lot of walking at the end, yeah. But that'd be cool to do that. So,
so say as we say and not as we do.
Yes. I used to, years ago, I used to coach, youth basketball, and I used to say that all the time when we were just kind of shooting around in the gym and stuff. So do as I say, not as I do, but yeah. So definitely shooting for 15, crazy enough to maybe do 20.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally should not do 20. So,
right.
And you're still planning on doing,
well, kind of going, yeah, kind of going on your thing. I have a totally crazy idea that still that maybe I can do an unofficial 50K here, even though I haven't trained up for it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm hoping that I have a good base. I don't know. And have been running long enough, to be able to do 31 miles. So my ultimate goal, although I know it's unrealistic, or somewhat unrealistic, is to do 31.1 miles. Mm-hmm. That's my a ultimate goal.
Now, the one thing I haven't asked you now, if you go out there and try to run 31 miles,
mm-hmm.
are you going to like try to run that like nonstop? Or are you going to kind of do kind of more what I'm saying is here is, you know, go out, do maybe you go do 20 or 25 and then take a little bit of a break or walk a bunch? Or are you like thinking like you're maybe on the best case scenario, you'd literally just run for 31 miles straight?
Best case scenario, I'd run for 31 miles straight, okay. with the exception of stopping at aid stations and porta potties.
Okay.
That's because I think I may actually need almost the 6 hours to do the 31 miles if I do it.
Okay. So everybody write in, who's crazier, me or you?
Right. I'm going to go with you on your 20 miler. Now, if we're just going but with I you on your
walking.
15
miler. I said walking. Yeah. Thrown
no,
in
but,
there.
No, so. But that's kind of like my ultimate goal. But I don't think I'll be
disappointed if you don't get
it. I mean, I guess maybe a little bit, but not, I won't be totally disappointed if I don't get it because I know I haven't really trained up to it. So
what's the minimum you want to get in? So bad day, you're not feeling great. What's the minimum?
Well, bad day. I mean, if I'm bad day minimum, I'd probably want to do like 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 15, 16. I mean, if it's a really bad day, then depending on what's going on, then I stop where, you know, at the last loop that I was able to complete. You know, mm-hmm. if it's a really bad day, if like injury or my stomach is just really crazy, okay, then I stop. But my ultimate goal is 31 miles. My second goal is to do a full. So 26.2. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be pretty cool to do that. I think I could do it in 6 hours,
right.
even with walking in between and all of that. So ideally, at least 26. Ultimately, it would be awesome to do 31. But if I can get a long run of like 15, 16 miles, then I'd be happy.
Yeah, so that's next weekend. We'll have on the next podcast, we'll probably have a full report on how that went.
Yeah.
It's a brazen event. We always sing their praises. Ironically, just a couple hours ago, we actually got the pre-race email with like tons of information on what we needed to know for the race. So,
mm-hmm.
Which is very helpful because we had a lot of questions kind of going into it.
Yeah, how we were just talking about it over the weekend.
Yeah. So it was nice getting the email from them kind of laying everything out in detail. So, mm-hmm.
Which they're usually pretty good about.
Right. They normally do that. Yeah. But,
they don't sponsor the show. We just really like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think that's going to do it for this week.
I think that's
it. You got
it.
Anything else?
No.
You want to give out all the website info?
Sure. So the website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You can head over to our Facebook page from there or go to facebook.com/embracerunning. You can send us any comments, questions, feedback, or tell us who you think is crazier at feedback@embracerunning.com. And that's going to do it for us this week. So until next time, keep running.